driven by an increase in wholesale gas prices on international energy markets. Business leaders have warned that border restrictions and reams of red tape have pushed up costs and added to delivery times, permanently undermining the competitiveness of British goods on the European continent. 67% of firms experienced a challenge when exporting and 72% when importing in the last month, according to the Office for National Statistics ONS surveys. There is a lot more friction on trade, which you would expect to have a more medium to long-term impact, said Grant Fitzner, chief economist at the Office for National Statistics. Meanwhile, Gareth Thomas, the Shadow International Trade Minister, said the government has exaggerated the benefits of trade deals with countries outside of the European Union that have yet to be negotiated. Ministers are not doing enough to support our exporters in markets outside of Europe, while the deal they negotiated with the European Union has led to long lorry queues into Dover, a big increase in red tape and a significant decline in trade, Gareth Thomas said. A UK government spokesperson said British goods exports to European Union nations were 4% higher last year compared with 2020. However, as the Office for National Statistics itself recognises, the impact of COVID-19 pandemic, global recession and supply chain disruption have caused higher levels of volatility in recent statistics. It is therefore still too early to draw any firm conclusions on the long-term impacts of our new trading relationship with the European Union. We are continuing to ensure that businesses get the support they need to trade effectively with Europe.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Thank you. Start.
Movement.
Speak.
Live in hope.
Tour the pitch.
On Youth Station.
Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim, Islam, 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 Isl
In the name of God, the most compassionate, the merciful.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners and sisters and brothers from every single corner of the world, wherever you are, I hope you're doing well and everything is fine with you. This is Arab English Radio, and today I have the privilege to be your host. Here with me, I have Brother Abdullah. Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to this session of Youth Station.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you here. So today we're going to talk about some important relationships. We have this question about treating other people, the elder people.
Mm.
Through the course of time, the thoughts on that changes. I mean, maybe in past, people used to be more respectful toward the elder people. But now, as we are going through time, everything changes. It's like there's no more much of emphasis on respect toward elder people. Do you see that like that? Do you think it's true what I'm saying? Or you have another idea?
I can't really say that people are disrespecting the elderly. I haven't seen any
considering the example. Younger people.
So yeah, I think it's a human nature to respect your elders. Rather, you don't need to be told. So we might see some cases where maybe the elderly are being disrespected. But generally speaking, people, regardless of their age, they do respect elderly. But maybe we're not giving them as much care as we used to do before. So before, for example, maybe you go out of your way just to help an old man or an old lady. This day, for example, you see them, you just don't care.
Yes, you don't care.
But if it comes to the fact that you have to come and help them, then you would. But generally speaking, I wouldn't say that we don't treat them well anymore. Rather, we ourselves, we just don't care anymore.
It's another way to put it, and yeah. Very true.
And I think one of the reasons, like, in the late 90s, early 20s, or from the 90s and onward, we got in the age of, what do they call them? The places, the houses where they put the elderly in, care houses. So when they put them in these disabled houses or these houses where the kids take their parents and they throw them in these houses, retirement homes. And they don't get to see them anymore. So obviously that this link, this relationship, it's cut.
So this is called respect. So they're not respecting their parents.
Look, not respecting the parents, that's a completely different issue because these days, no one does. Like that we are directly disrespecting our parents, like we are in your face kind of disrespecting. Like,
and you see that the reason is that we no longer care about anything. Not just our parents.
No, not that we don't care about anything. Our value code is corrupted, right? So, for example, when it comes to our parents, now I've seen, because I deal with kids all of the time, and one of the issues that the parents come up to me with is the fact that the kids don't respect them. They call them by their names, they scream at them, they hit them, they curse
them.
They're
at ease with them.
Yeah, so they teach with, they interact with their parents as complete strangers, you know? And I've seen like some really bad cases where kids disrespecting their parents. And the idea is it's the moral code, that's what I call it. The moral code or the value code itself is being distorted.
So they think they're not doing something wrong.
No, they're doing is absolutely right.
Well, here is where we're going for a little break. Hope you're not tired. Don't go anywhere. Stick to Youth Station. We'll be back in no minute.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
So, welcome back to your own program. Well, we were talking about treating the elder people.
Mm. If I look at myself and my generation, the generations before, we used to look at our parents as lords.
Yes.
Like, if I see my dad, I can't even move anymore.
The king and the queen of the
house. Yeah, it's like, you know, this is how we used to see them. Not just them, like, I mean, even our teachers. For example, I remember if the teacher was coming to our area, mm-hmm. like, you would not see a single child in the streets.
Yes, that's and that wasn't a long time ago.
No, that was like, what, 20, 30 years
yes.
ago?
Yes.
Not that long. But the idea is, like, with time and with technology and with this globalization of the world, things change. The value has changed. Like I said, one of the, you know, when we look at cartoons, for example, right?
Yes.
I blame cartoons for everything. But when you watch cartoons and you see that, like, a character, she argues with her parents, she yells at her mama or her father, and she fights with them, and then she leaves the house and she walks away. And she shows, and the cartoon portrays her as being oppressed by her parents, and she has the right to speak her mind, and she has the right to talk. Now, a child...
So they teach children how to treat their parents.
Exactly. So what I'm saying is that the value code or the moral code here is changing.
And we're going toward the self more and more. The thing that is important is yourself. And that's all.
Exactly. So it's
what
just,
makes you happy, what yeah. makes you easy, what is good with you. Everything is related to you, yourself.
Yeah, that's why we say think of number one, which is yourself. Forget
yes.
about the rest. So it then becomes a trend. So I'm saying, like, if we talk about parents, we can go on for hours. But as for when we talk about elderly, I think it's becomes a little bit, you know, better than parents. With parents, it's more violent. With the grandparents, for example, or elderly generally, because when we see them naturally and we see how weak they are and they can't, you know, they hardly move, they hardly talk, we kind of feel sorry. It's an automatic
yes.
kind of feeling.
Like, actually, not to everybody, but most
well,
of
I mean,
the
to
people
the majority
do
of
that
people.
Intuitively.
Yeah, so to the majority of the people, like, I mean, if you do a social experiment now and someone has, I think I've seen some of them. On YouTube where some people act elderly. You see people come to their help. They come to their aid.
Yes.
They, you know, they kind of help them out. But, I mean, obviously, like I said, we can't generalize with everything, but the majority of people, they do come to their help. So helping them is one thing. Respecting them
is another thing.
Where would they respect? So, for example, before, and even now, at some cultures, if the elderly say something, it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Right, if they like say, okay, this should be done or this shouldn't
but
be done.
But in some other cultures,
yeah,
there's no way for the elders to speak.
They would be like in a retirement home. You won't even see
yes.
them, which is a disaster. Well, that's why when we come to Islam, for example, even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the hadith, he says, if it wasn't for old men praying and worshipping Allah, it's like one of the reasons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not send punishment down on earth. It says if it wasn't for old men and young children and women, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have sent punishment on earth. In the Islamic scope, they are very respected.
Yes, there is much emphasis on the elder people.
Yeah, so they're very respected, you know, a section of society that even like Islam emphasizes on taking care of them, respecting them, I don't know, doing all these sorts of things for them. In terms of saying salam to them, in terms of getting up for them, in terms of, I don't know, giving them your space. So you can see that we have so much narrations about respecting our elderly, regardless
yes.
of who they are.
Now, just because we need to be fair, sometimes the elder, the way they treat the youngsters and the way, I don't know, the way they speak to them, the way they treat them, the way they feel like they have to rule everything, that's also an issue. I mean, it's true that we have to respect them as the younger people.
Mm.
But also, they need to be easy. They need to be more considerating every single matter with the youngsters.
Well, I mean, let me ask you a question. Is it their choice, though? I mean, do they do that out of free choice?
Yes, it's their choice.
You think?
Yes.
With the elderly?
Whose choice is that?
You're not taking things into consideration. Right. When a person gets old,
yes.
he loses his mental powers. He's no longer thinking as much or as active as me and you. he no longer has the power to...
No, I'm with you in that point.
Yeah, so,
no,
so when they make mistakes...
Point also say
when
that.
They act grumpy...
Yes.
Right? It's some. I don't think it's a choice any longer.
Sometimes they make you nervous. You have to tolerate them a lot. Also, they have to be considerate about the fact that you're young, you have your own problems.
Yeah, so why do you have to tolerate them? Only because they are no longer in charge of their physical or their mental state. And that's why, for example, I had a discussion with one of the brothers who has having an issue with his old mom. I said to him, have you taken into consideration that she's old? Like, actually old. When people get old, that's what happens to them. Even Allah in the Quran says, he brings a person from a stage of knowledge or a stage of being active to a stage of nothing. That's just the process of living. As you get older, your mental capacity becomes less. All the powers that Allah has given you,
yes,
they will tend to decrease. So I cannot, logically speaking, I cannot accept an older person to act like a 30-year-old or 40-year-old. He's 70, 80. He has nothing left in him.
But, you know, naturally we think they must be more patient.
It's actually asking them for too much.
You see, when somebody has lived for 60 years, 70 years, or 80 years, we expect them to be more patient, more wise.
No, actually, that's what Allah says in the Quran, وَمَن نُعَمَّرْهُ نُنَكِّسْهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ. Whoever lives longer, we will make him even worse off.
They're more experienced than us.
That's the thing, that experience stays at a certain age and dies out. It's like, for example, let's say it stays at 60, 65, and that's it, it starts to decrease. I mean, you can't even... Like have a, I mean, with some people, obviously I can't generalize. Like some people, like they're old, but they're still active and, you know, and their mind is still at full capacity. But some people, like as they get older, the majority of the people, as they get older, they lose that power.
Yes.
So why do you expect them?
But nowadays, the youngers also have got their own lives and many in their plates. So it's not just like
So what happened
like
is
this.
I think this is what should happen, right? I mean, if you have a grandparent, so if you're dealing with old people, you just have to cope with them yourself. In the same way that me and you, when we have children,
mm-hmm,
we have to persevere with them nagging and fighting and crying all the time. You don't see me coming bashing a child for crying. Like, why are you crying? And I bash him. He's just like, let's say, from 6 months old. I'm going to hit a six-month-old because he's crying or he's not letting
You're
me
sleep. You're hopeful. You think that when they grow, they're going to be better.
Exactly. So you do take into consideration that this child currently, he's undeveloped. So therefore, I have no other choice but to deal with that state. When a person becomes old, he's not developed anymore. He loses these things.
Yes. And you have no hopes.
Exactly. So what happened is that you have to change the way you look at them. For example, we have a hadith that says about the parents. It says, "La tu'inu abna'akum ala uquqakum." Do not help your child to,
yes,
you know,
to be the bad guy.
To be the bad guy and fight over you. Obviously, because the hadith is taken into consideration that the parents are so actively, like mind and body so active, the child is both. So the hadith says, act with them, interact with them in a way where you come like to a middle ground.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go too harsh on them and you make them, you know, do something haram against you.
Don't put them in a situation where when they do you wrong.
Exactly. But when that scenario changes, they're no longer, you know, they are adversaries or no longer enemies or no longer, I don't know, opposites to you. They're old. So every time I see an old person, I have to forgive him. I'm like, okay, he's old.
You justified all the elders.
Yeah, right, obviously, now. Because like I said, I mean, you know when the hadith says, إِذَا أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مَا وَهَبْ سَقَطَ مَا وَجَبْ, right? If Allah takes that which is he gives you, then there would be no asking for anything in return.
Yes.
Because you don't have it anymore. If I'm insane, Allah can't ask me to pray and fast because he took my intellect.
Yes, that's
so with
true.
Old people, when these powers are taken from them, I can't expect anything in return. Rather, I'll justify their
that
actions.
That needs evolving. I need to be so much developed in order to take that in. So, Youth Station listeners, thank you for listening to us. We were talking about respecting the elders. And as they get old, we learn that we have to be patient with them because just as time goes by, we lose everything. And since we're losing everything, we hope that the youngers would respect us. Thank you for listening, guys. May God preserve you all.
Thought.
Hello, dear listeners. Here is a short but sweet statement from the Holy Prophet's ninth infallible successor, Imam Muhammad al-Taghi al-Jawad, peace be upon him. Three features cause love: being fair in association, comforting in misfortunes, and having a good heart.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news, with the light.
Biologists in Peru release two birds back to their natural habitat after weeks of efforts to attend and conserve dozens of animals affected by an oil spill. Two birds were among some 200 animals found dehydrated and were brought to a veterinary hospital for treatment. Veterinarians, biologists, and volunteers have been leading the cleanup operation of the affected coast close to the capital, Lima. So far, several species have been released after rehabilitation. An oil tanker off the coast of Peru was hit by waves triggered by a volcanic eruption miles away in Tonga in January. Some 6,000 barrels of oil spilled into the ocean that polluted waters and beaches along Peru's Pacific coast.
There are all sorts of peculiar restaurants around the world, but not so many prison-themed eateries. One of them is in the Iranian capital, Tehran, and it is thriving.
The setting is engaging. If we want to suggest it to someone, it's because of the setting, too. It's like a cell, both its title and the story of the owners. They wrote here they were inmates themselves and why they were in jail.
Cell 16 serves its customers in cells where they can wear mock prison uniforms. The owners say they got the idea for their diner while they were behind bars for debt. They say they are now open to help newly released inmates who find it hard to get employed and give out part of their proceeds to pay for debt inmates.
There have been several cases where an inmate came and worked here while on leave, and we helped and offered him money to help his problem.
The eatery was opened in 2016. The owners have now expanded their business and own two diners in Tehran and another in the central city of Isfahan. They say they are using their emerging restaurant chain to raise funds to free convicts who are serving time for unpaid debts.
A German man has claimed a new Guinness World Record in hula hooping. Kia Sandmeier set a new record for the longest duration of hula hooping in a plank position. He was able to carry the activity in this difficult pose for over 6 minutes. The 30-year-old says he practiced the plank rigorously in the morning and evenings before and after work. Sandmeier says holding the plank was the most difficult part. The previous record for this activity was set last year by an American with just over 3 minutes. Every year, the Copenhagen Light Festival transformed the winter cold and darkness of the capital city into a celebration of light art in Denmark. In February, the entire city becomes the stage displaying captivating lighting installations presented by Danish and international artists. The works are planted at more than 30 historical sites, canals, and squares, among other urban spaces. Building facades are also decorated with special lighting designs. The organizers and curators of the festival say the event is important because it gives people a chance to rediscover their own city. Also, the event brings life to a dark season that's normally very quiet by offering joyful experiences for locals and tourists alike.
As the 2022 Winter Olympics have begun in the Chinese capital, Beijing, two playful giant pandas at the Moscow Zoo have come to the spotlight for predicting the outcome of the sports event. On the eve of the Winter Olympics opening, Ru Yi and Ding Ding were each offered 5 traffic cones labeled with national flags of the participating countries, represented by the largest numbers of athletes. The cones that got taken down by them were considered as the winners. The pandas then chose the cones with Chinese and German flags on them. Zoo officials say no treats were placed inside the cones to ensure that the prediction is unbiased. The zoo says it plans to continue the panda prediction for all individual and team competitions at the games. The 15th edition of the Tehran International Tourism and Handicrafts Exhibition has wrapped up. As Saman Khujuri reports, Iran ranks first globally for the number of cities and villages registered by the World Crafts Council. Here's more.
The 15th Tehran International Tourism and Handicrafts Exhibition has wrapped up its work. The four-day event brought together representatives of different sectors active in tourism and handicrafts fields, including airlines, cruise lines, hotels, museums, travel agencies, insurance services, travel and tourism facilities, and masters of handicrafts. The exhibition is considered as the most appropriate platform to optimize face-to-face communication among the involved industries. From a tourism point of view, Iran enjoys two important and unique features. The first one is Iran's exceptional geographical location among countries in the world, and the second feature is its tourism attractions of historical, cultural, natural pilgrimage, adventurous, and other sorts.
Qalamzani, or metal engraving, is an Iranian ancient metalwork art. It is engraved by chisels and hammers on different metals such as gold, silver, copper, brass, and some alloys. Its origin dates back to almost 7,000 years ago. It is the art of carving superb designs on various metals. The artistic work of this course made by the artists are the glorious and undeniable indication of previous metal work of Iran, and in particular Isfahan.
I'm from Hormozgan province, south of Iran. Handicrafts have always been an integral part of Hormozgan province due to the rich culture and special customs of the region. Hormozgan province embraces scenic islands, among which Kish, Hormoz, Hengam, and Qeshm are the most beautiful ones and top tourist destinations in southern Iran.
Iran has globally registered 11 cities and 3 villages under their native handicrafts during the past 6 years, making the country a world leader in registering local productions. There are totally 602 handicrafts fields identified on a global scale. 299 fields are special to Iran, from which 199 fields are in the central Iranian province of Isfahan.
With 14 entries, Iran ranks first globally for the number of cities and villages registered by the World Crafts Council, as China with 7 entries, Chile with 4 entries, and India with 3 ones come next. Saman Khujuri, Tehran.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Joyous festive mood in East Asia as the region welcomes the Lunar New Year with celebrations, including light and lantern decorations of homes and public avenues. People across China are staging a variety of events to mark the New Year, also known as the Spring Festival. Several cities have held breathtaking light shows, with many landmarks and skyscrapers dazzling with colorful images. In the capital, Beijing, the light shows feature elements of the Winter Olympics as the city is getting ready to host the International Games this week. Elsewhere, Malaysians welcome the Year of the Tiger with an underwater lion dance performance in an aquarium in the capital, Kuala Lumpur. The citizens have welcomed the return of the annual event, which had been called off the previous year due to COVID-19 restrictions.
A lot happier as compared to during the lockdown period where you're alone and you do things alone. You feel very lonely, right? Now that you get to be in touch with your family, yeah, it's a lot better.
Even though we still keep a social distance, but however, I feel the freedom to go out and visit and do the things that I like to do.
Celebrations are also underway in Hong Kong, Taiwan and Indonesia. The Lunar New Year, seen as a time of reunion and rebirth, is celebrated by more than 2 billion people worldwide, especially amongst Asian communities. The festivities last for over a fortnight.
Stunning light shows and hanging lanterns have illuminated cities across China to welcome the new Lunar Year, also called the Spring Festival. The city of Zigong has taken the spotlight with a sea of lanterns, turning it into a scene straight out of a fairy tale. The city is famous for lantern making and brings a festive mood this time around every year. The lanterns are usually made in all kinds and shapes, including legendary creatures representing each lunar year on the Chinese calendar. This year's zodiac is the tiger, which is decorated vividly on special couplets. The New Year festivities officially begin on Tuesday and will continue for 15 days. The Lunar New Year is considered the largest migration of people in the world, as millions travel back to their towns and villages to mark the event.
Sub-zero temperatures in the Midwestern U.S. haven't held anglers back from participating in the world's largest charitable ice fishing contest. Some 10,000 people from across the world gathered in the state of Minnesota to put their ice fishing skills to test. They dug thousands of holes in Gull Lake in a matter of hours. Some $200,000 in prizes were up for grabs in the contest. The volunteer-led annual event has so far raised about $4 million for 67 charities since it was first held in 1991. Beryl Carr is a special volunteer at a hospital in London. What makes her special, you might wonder? Well, the fact that she celebrated her 100th birthday last month. Carr has been volunteering in Ealing Hospital for more than 18 years. She works in the hospital's cafe and says her work is her lifeline. This incredible 100-year-old lady says she enjoys helping those who are not as fortunate as she is and that she has no intentions of retiring. The hospital staff say her presence has been very motivating.
Many of us look at her. She's always got a smile on her face, a swagger as she walks. And you come back from a clinic or a ward round, you're absolutely tired, and she just inspires you as soon as you see her.
Even the coronavirus pandemic has not stopped Carr from volunteering. Born in a nearby town, Carr says she moved back to the neighborhood more than two decades ago after the death of her husband. When asked about the secret to her long and healthy life, she refused to answer, saying she's not planning on revealing that secret. A surprise in a Chinese zoo ahead of the Lunar New Year. 15 rare golden tigers make debut in front of excited fans. A large group of visitors gathered in China's Yellow River Delta Zoo to watch the rare animals. This zoo is the largest breeding base for golden species of tigers across China. The animals are being strictly protected amid fear surrounding their extinction. The golden tigers are a variant of Bengali tigers with rare color variations, including black strips. They are no longer extant in the wild.
The most powerful telescope ever built in the world is now at its final destination in space. After traveling for nearly 1 month, NASA's James Webb Space Telescope has reached its final parking spot in space, which is approximately a million miles away from Earth. The mission of the tennis court-sized telescope is to explore the cosmos and better understand the early days of the universe. The $10 billion telescope will also carefully monitor faraway exoplanets and study the atmospheres of planets outside our solar system. It's more advanced than NASA's iconic Hubble telescope.
today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. Inshallah, all of you are doing well. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio, which you are listening to. Today, we're going to speak about Imamology.
Inna fil jannati nahran laban. Inna fil jannati nahran laban. Li Aliyin wa Husayn wa Hasan.
Today, Sunday, is the 11th of Rajab, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 24th of Bahman, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 13th of February, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless this moment by recitation of chapter Al-Anbiya, verse 73 from The Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Waj'alnahum a'immatan yahduna bi'amrina wa awhayna ilayhim fi'lal khayrati wa iqamas salati wa ita'az zakah wa kanu lana 'abidin.
And we made them leaders guiding by our command, and we inspired to them the doing of good deeds, establishment of prayer, and giving of zakah, and they were worshippers of us.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
This verse, in a general sense, refers to the rank of imamate and leadership of these great prophets, as well as a part of their important and valuable programs. The difference of prophethood with imamate lies in this fact that the divine prophets, in the rank of prophethood and messengership, only receive the command of Allah and inform people of it in order to convey it to them. And this communication is often accompanied with glad tidings and warnings.
Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin Nabiyil Ummi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim.
At the beginning of the program, I told you that the topic for this episode of today's special is Imamology. Let's get familiar with that term. What is imamate? Imam or leader is the title given to a person who takes the lead in a community, in a particular social movement or political ideology or scientific and religious form of thought. Naturally, because of his relation to the people he leads, he must conform his actions to their capabilities in both important and secondary matters. The sacred religion of Islam takes into consideration and gives directive concerning all aspects of the life of all men. Thus, the imamate and religious leadership in Islam may be studied from three different perspectives. From the perspective of Islamic government, of Islamic sciences and injunctions, and of leadership and innovative guidance in the spiritual life. Shiism believes that since Islamic society is in dire need of guidance in each of these three aspects, the person who occupies the function of giving that guidance and is the leader of the community in these areas of religious concern must be appointed by Allah and the Prophet. Naturally, the prophet himself was also appointed by divine command. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the need for recognizing the infallible Imam. First of all, it must be indicated that in the Islamic religion, and particularly from the Shiite side, the Shi'i side, imamate is an integral part of the Islamic religion. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the creator of the whole universe, appointed some special people as his prophets among people. Yet those prophets, especially arch-prophets, major prophets, had some successors, or special delegates, special successors, who continued his messages. The messages of those arch or major prophets. In the Islamic religion, this indication, this office and post of imamate reached Imam Ali alayhi salam as the first infallible imam. In the meantime, it must be indicated that according to Shi beliefs, prophethood is the mission that a divine prophet receives the instructions and injunctions right from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, the next element is imamate, and imamate in this sense finds expression in having some people entrusted with the mission of continuing the mission of the prophet that they resemble and they represent.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام.
All in all, in today's special IRIB English Radio.
On the continuation of today's special from IRIB English Radio, we learn more about the philosophy of the existence of the Imam, the political and social leadership of the Ummah. Dear listener, doubtlessly no social group or gathering can continue to be alive if it is not led by a strong leader. Because of this, from the earliest time to the present, all tribes and nations have selected a leader for themselves who was sometimes a good person and very often not so. On the other hand, in order for human beings to be able to reach spiritual perfection, they must take this way not alone, but with a group or a society, because the power of an individual from the intellectual, physical, material, and spiritual point of view is very limited, whereas the power of a group is very strong. That's the duty of the people at the special times when the pure Imam, Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, is in occultation, has become clear, and with the will of Allah. We will speak about it in another time.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim. وعلى آل إبراهيم إِنَّكَ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ.
The conditions and special qualities of the Imam. One of the conditions and special qualities of the Imam is infallibility, or being free from sin and error. An Imam must, like a prophet, have the station of purity, that is, be free of sin and error. Otherwise, he cannot lead and be a model for the people and receive the trust of society. The Imam must consume the heart and soul of the people, and his command be accepted without questioning. A person who has sinned can never receive such trust and be trusted and confirmed. Doubtlessly, the Prophet must be immaculate, and this quality is necessary for the Imam as well. This can be proven to another way as well, that is the law of kindness, which the existence of the Prophet and Imam rely upon requires the infallibility of the Prophet or the Imam.
Imamology, in Arabic, al-imama, or the belief in the special nature, status, and authority of the Imam, or the divine guide or leader, forms the bedrock of Twelver Shiite worldview. In fact, it may even be argued that Imamology is the most important, yet also the most misunderstood doctrine within Islam as a whole. It must also be noted that Imamology is intimately linked to two other important Islamic doctrines, divine grace, or al-lutf, and prophetology, or al-nubuwah. Al-Allama al-Hilli defines the imamate as a universal authority over both religious and worldly affairs. Before him, a Shaykh al-Mufid introduced the imam as the one who, quote, takes the place of the prophets in enforcing judgments, seeing to the execution of legal penalties, safeguarding the law, and educating humankind, end quote. This position of the place and authority of the imam is derived from prophetology and is necessitated by divine grace. As for its derivation from prophetology, this is because the imam is considered to be the successor of the prophet, and his task is to elucidate the prophetic message and to ensure its protection and continuance after the demise of the prophet. As successor to the prophet, his function as the political and religious leader of the community is virtually the same as that of the prophet. Thus, we find a Shaykh al-Mufid state that, quote, Imamis, or Twelver Shiites, are in agreement that every messenger, Rasul, is a prophet, Nabi, but not every prophet is a messenger. And that some of God's prophets were the guardians and protectors of the messages of earlier messengers. Furthermore, it is revelation, a shar, this is a Shaykh al-Mufid continuing, furthermore, it is revelation, a shar' that prohibits the imam from being considered a prophet, not reason, al-aql. This is due to the imams having possessed the responsibilities of the prophets, end quote. In other words, if it wasn't for the revelatory affirmation of the finality of the divine revelation with the Prophet Muhammad, and the negation of any prophet or messenger after him, for example, the Quranic statement, quote, Muhammad is not the father of any of your males, rather he is the messenger of God and the seal of the prophets, end quote, there would be no rational prohibition for the imams to have been considered prophets. Thus, imamology is derived from prophetology. The imamate is necessitated by divine grace because, just as God's grace entails sending prophets and messengers as external guides for humanity, it similarly entails the extension and continuation of this guidance after the prophet's departure. Just as the prophet's followers were in need of a guide during his lifetime, their need for a guide extends after his death.
Time flies so fast. That is the end of this episode of today's special from IRB English Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we rejoin you on another episode and another interesting topic. Till then, have a nice time. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Ali Imami.
لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.